Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in a special episode, I'll be talking to Simeon Pickup, who is a supporter of Reading and editor of the Tilehurst End. He is also heard frequently on the Championship Roundtable. He's on to give the opposition view of this match between Fulham and Reading. We have much to discuss, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome my guest to the show. Simeon, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, I look forward to talking to you and really getting to learn more about Reading. It's been a long time since our clubs have played, so I look forward to all that. But before we do that, please tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and also about the website.
Yeah, so I'm Simeon Pickup. I'm the editor of the Tilehurst End. You can find us on Twitter at the Tilehurst End and myself on Twitter at Bucks Royal. And Tilehurst End is a Reading blog and news site. We do match reports, analysis, news opinion, all of that, and we have our own podcast as well, so go check us out.
Yes, please do go to the website and check out the podcast. It's excellent. I recently listened to the last episode. It really is insightful, and I highly recommend you listening to the podcast, and I think you'll get a lot out of it along with this interview with Simeon. All right, Simeon, let's start from the beginning. Let's talk about Reading's season so far. They're currently 19th and 5 points away from the relegation zone. I remember being on the championship roundtable at the beginning of the season, and we were talking about Reading, and I thought Reading were pretty much going to be where Fulham are right now. I thought you'd be fighting for a playoff spot. I really believe that. I did not see this drop-off. This caught me by surprise. I know others had seen it. So I want to get your thoughts on that and just overall the 2017-2018 Reading season.
It's a strange one, really. As you say, a lot of us were expecting a playoff push as well. We were very confident from last season, having got all the way to the playoff final. And we thought that even if we weren't pushing for automatics, we'd still have enough of a build-off from last season to be able to go again for the playoffs this year. I guess even a couple of months into the season, there's still a sense that despite the problems on the pitch, we could get past them, we could really bounce back and then push up the table, but it just hasn't happened for us. It's been a pretty miserable season so far. We've only recently started putting some wins together, to be honest. Right. We went through a run of about one win in, I think, 19 games that got Yaps down the sack. The atmosphere around the club's been very poor pretty much all season, and it was a surprise, to be honest, that Yapstam lasted as long as he did, considering how bad the form was. But Paul Clement's come in and we're a lot more confident that we're going to stay up.
Okay, very good. We'll be talking about Clement in just a second, but let's talk about the differences between last season and this season. Stam did a very good job for you last season. So can you put your finger on what went wrong from last season to this one? And eventually he got the sack.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, really. I don't think you can put it down to any one factor, strangely enough. Injuries have been a big problem. We've been without a creative midfielder, a left back, or a striker for quite big portions of the season. And considering Yapstam's very ambitious style of play, he wants us to play like Barcelona or Ajax, very technically advanced, very intricate and very very clever style of football. When you're missing those key players in those areas of the pitch, the whole team starts to unravel, to be honest. The confidence all season's been pretty low. We never really bounced back from that playoff final defeat on penalties to Huddersfield. The recruitment was pretty poor as well. We lost some key players in the summer. Jan Kermigan, top scorer with about 19 goals, he's been injured for a lot of the season, weren't able to get in a really good goal scorer to come in and replace him. Ali Alhabsi saved us on so many occasions last season. He won us so many points, particularly in that second playoff game against Fulham. He was on
that. Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
I'll try and put that to one side for you.
I understand. He actually was excellent for you last season. I get where you're going on that. Go ahead.
He was brilliant, and he saved us points on so many times. Sheffield Wednesday away, for example, he was putting in a pretty much world-class performance. And it's those kind of performances that get you to third in the table. It's not just about your goal scorers and everything else, but being able to get past those really tough games. And we haven't been able to do that this season. We weren't particularly brilliant last season. We didn't win by a couple of goals on many occasions. But what we were really good at was winning games by one or two goals, just edging matches constantly. And it's those fine margins that we just got on the wrong side of this season. The confidence has been lower. There's been less morale. If we've lost a game, we've reacted to it a lot worse this season than we did last year. Take the Fulham 5-0 last season. I'm sure you're much happier with me reminding you of that. We were good at responding to matches like that. We'd get hammered 5-0 at Craven Cottage, 7-1 at Norwich as well. But then next week, we'd go and beat a good team. We'd put in a good performance after a really gut-wrenching day out. And it's that mental strength that has just gone. Yapstam has had a lot of things to do with all of those factors that I just mentioned. And considering how inexperienced he is as a manager, it's easy to forget that last season was his first and only full season in management so far. Considering his inexperience, he's not been able to help us to bounce back. He's not known how to properly deal with it. And by the end, he just seemed a bit, I guess, he looked like he ran out of ideas.
Okay, that's very interesting. And I was going to ask you this, and I don't know if this is a factor as well, and you follow them pretty closely. Did the players stop listening to him? Were they just not responding to his tactics anymore? I'm curious their part in this equation. You're talking about low confidence, and when you lose, obviously that's a factor here. But I'm curious if they were still behind him.
It's a strange one, really. That's been pretty controversial since he's gone, actually. You would have thought that for a team that is so deeply underperforming for such a lot of the season, the players would have turned on the manager to an extent. He would have lost the dressing room. But even after the manager went, the players came out on social media and said they really enjoyed working with him. They really valued the chance of playing under him. So I don't think it's a straightforward case of the team got bad and the players turned on the manager. I think they just perhaps didn't get his instructions, or just they definitely bought into his system, his style of playing, his tactical philosophies, but for other reasons, I guess, beyond the players' view of the manager, it just didn't go well.
Okay. And possibly, like you're talking about, the inexperience of him being able to figure out when things go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
In year two was a huge, it sounds like it was a huge factor here. And it got to the point where they had to make a change. All right, my friend. Well, let's move on. Let's now talk about Paul Clement. I want to get your thoughts on him. But before I get them, I want to mention this because I talked about listening to the Tyler Hurst End podcast earlier today. I listened to it today. And something stood out to me during your conversation when you were talking about Clement and how things are going so far. And this was the phrasing you used: the simplification of the center back's game. The podcast saw this as a change from, say, Clement to Stam. Could you just talk a little bit about that? Because I think that also talks about what's been going on lately under Clement from Stam.
Yeah, so we've markedly improved in the last couple of games defensively. If you go back to Stam's time, we were not actually conceding a lot of goals in individual games. I think we only conceded 3 in a match in January, and it's happened a few times since, but we were conceding stupid goals, maybe 1 or 2 every match constantly, not getting battered, but just a couple of goals, stupid goals consistently. And I think the main reason for that is that the players were just not confident enough. They weren't able to concentrate. They weren't mentally focused and properly zeroed in. And a big reason for that was they were often asked to play out from the back to a much bigger extent than they should have. If you look at the passing statistics, for example, for our centre-backs, they were frequently in the 80 or 90%. They were perhaps the most relied on players in terms of possession game. And particularly when the opposition would press our centre backs, they'd force mistakes, they'd force errors, and we lost a lot of goals from that. And the confidence for the defenders as a whole, not just from those individual mistakes, but as a whole, seemed to be a lot lower. Psychologically, they seemed a lot more shaky. But then if you compare that to what we've seen under Paul Clement in his couple of games, he's basically taken away that responsibility of them passing out from the back. They'll do it a few times if they're able to play a simple pass, and they will. But if they're under pressure, there's no onus on them to, say, play it back to the goalkeeper or try and overplay. He'll let them keep it simple. He'll let them boot the ball into row Z if they really want to, if they need to. And it just feels like there's a mental weight that has just been completely lifted off them. There's a lot less pressure. They know that if there's a problem coming their way, then they can deal with it in the most simple, effective way. And we saw that on Saturday, particularly when we got a clean sheet against Preston, which was very impressive, considering Preston are a good side, right. They're just outside the playoffs. And our centre-backs were so confident, so dominant in the air, on the ball, in all of their decision-making. They knew how to defend, they knew how to deal with pretty much everything that came their way, and it was very different to what we've seen in the last couple of months.
It's basically going back to the basics, I mean, it sounds like to me, taking care of the defense first and then building from that point on. Listening to your podcast, it sounds like you expect something different next season, a more expansive play.
Yeah, exactly. Clement is the kind of manager who I think ideally wants his defenders to be playing out from the back. He wants that style of play that is more easy on the eye. He wants to control possession, but not in such a kind of like a philosophical way as Jaap Stam almost. He was so obsessed with his team having a lot of possession to the detriment of his side's defending, for example. But Clement is, although he's on that same page, he is going to try and prioritise defending. He's going to keep that both this season and going forwards. And I guess building from that base of the defenders doing their job of defending first and foremost, doing that this season, then building on that next year to hopefully bring in more of a possession game.
Have you seen enough of him already to convince you that he's the man for next season as well, or do you need to see more?
I think next season's going to be a very different challenge, to be honest. He's got a very obvious brief at the moment just to keep the team up. And at the moment, he can get away with things like focusing on defending and making Reading hard to beat. If you look at our attacking statistics over the last couple of games, we've had, I think, something like 2 shots on target in 3 matches. We've scored from both of them, so I'm not complaining too much.
That's efficient.
Exactly. But although that's going to be, although he can get away with that this season, if it's getting us points, in the long term, he's going to adapt. He's going to have to adapt a lot more. He's going to have to grow the team in a way that he's not being expected to at the moment. So, although I'm optimistic, I'm still kind of on the fence a little bit in terms of I'm not 100% sure what we're going to see from Clement next season if we're hopefully still in the division.
Okay, well, what's interesting is I can give you a little parallel to Fulham under Jokanović. When Jokanović came, it was basically just to keep us in the league. At his very first job was just to make sure we stayed in the championship, and then he was able to really put in his system from that point on the next season, and of course what you're seeing right now. So hopefully that will happen for you, Simeon. All right, let's move on. I can't believe we've gone this far into the podcast and not talk about Sone Lukko, but it is time to talk about him. This was a very interesting decision by Fulham over the summer to sell him to you. Let's start from the beginning. Your thoughts when you saw the move initially, and how has it worked out over time with Sone Lukko?
When he first came in, I was very happy to see him come in. He's a very experienced player at this level. Did very well for you last season, and he, on the whole, seemed to fit what Jaap Stam was trying to build. Jaap Stam was clearly a big fan of him. I think he might have gone over and talked to Lukko personally after the 1-1 draw back in August. I think it was, just before signing him. So he was clearly very highly rated by Stam. He's the kind of player that Yap Stam wanted at the club. That kind of technically gifted, but quick, intelligent forward who can play in a variety of different roles. But unfortunately, it's not worked out at all well for him. He's got, I think, maybe about 4 or 5 assists all year, 2 or 3 goals tops. He's just never really hit the ground running. And considering the amount of money that we spent on him, which was reported to be quite a few million of pounds, he's been widely discussed as one of the worst value for money signings we've made in recent years. to be quite honest with you, he's not looked confident at all. He seemed lost in our front three. He doesn't really seem to know what's expected of him. And it's things like individual errors. It's just generally not being effective in the final third, certainly from a player of his experience and calibre. But interestingly, the very first game that we played under Paul Clement, he scored an absolute screamer.
I saw that. Rangers.
A brilliant goal, probably one of our best goals of the season.
He has that ability. That's the funny thing about Sonny. He does have that ability.
Yeah, and it's a really clever goal. It's not just a hopeful hit from range. It was a really clever spin out on the right wing to just dart past his defender, cutting inside and then letting fly from range. It was a beautiful goal. And it's the kind of confidence and single-mindedness that we just haven't seen from him all season. He knew what he was going to do, and he pulled it off very well. And it's things like that we just haven't seen enough.
Right.
I guess in the long term, I'm confident that he's going to be a much better player. With another manager coming in and having his influence, should hopefully be a lot better for him. But he really just needs to get this season over and recharge, refresh for next season.
Well, listen, for me, from my perspective, I thought Sonny Luca was a good form player, and I thought he had a very good season last season. The one thing that always seems to come up in my mind when I think of him is that he's consistently inconsistent. He will have that moments of brilliance that happen for you, and then he will miss that opportunity that you just think, how is he missing it? And that's kind of was his history with Fulham. He was very dangerous at times, but it was just not clinical enough. And again, I was on the fence going back and forth about the situation. So Fulham end up winning the deal because he just hasn't worked out. But hopefully, for your sake, Simeon, he works out better next season. Like you said, under Clement, maybe he will find his way. And Clement will get more out of him. But as of right now, it sounds like it's been just a big disappointment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's now talk about strengths and weaknesses of Reading. And what I like to do is I like to go to whoscored.com and see what they say about each team and see if they match up with what you know about your club. Now, what's interesting about this, when you have a change in manager, things can change. So this is what they're saying right now, but I have a feeling it is looking at the big picture the entire season when I'm giving you these strengths and weaknesses, Simeon. So keep that in mind. That's what I think. It's in my opinion, when I've looked at many of these strengths and weaknesses and characteristics, it seems like it's more of a big picture thing. So let's start with what they have down for strengths. They just have one. It says creating chances using through balls. Do you consider that a strength of Reading? And are there any other strengths that you see right now?
I'm surprised they found a single strength with when it comes to creating chances of any kind, to be quite honest with you. We've been hopelessly uncreative all season. Even last season, to be honest, we were exactly well known for creating a lot of chances. I don't know how they managed to come up with that. That seems to be a bit of a blip of the statistics. I'll certainly take it, but
yeah,
I guess everything's relative.
Right.
So if Who Scored think that, then I'm not one to argue with them. I guess strengths as a whole. If you'd gone back a couple of weeks ago and said Reading are a good defensive side, I would have laughed you out of the proverbial room, as it were.
Right.
But in the last couple of games, we've looked very strong defensively. We're yet to concede a goal under Paul Clement when we've had 11 men on the pitch, which is notable because we've had 2 men sent off in his first 3 games. got a very good clean sheet against QPR, albeit needed a lot of fortune with our goalie saving a very late penalty in injury time, I think it was. And then got another clean sheet a couple of about a week later against Preston. And despite a 3-0 loss at Aston Villa, I'm not too I'm not reading too much into that because we had a man sent off after about half an hour. And when you concede one away at a playoff team and you're down to 10 men, you're likely to collapse to a certain extent. But on the whole, defensively, I think that's our main strength. I guess as far as weaknesses go, chance creation has gone from bad to worse under Paul Clement, actually. With regards to Yapstam, we created a few chances each game, but nothing too good. But Paul Clement has essentially almost completely abandoned any kind of chance creation. As I mentioned earlier,
right.
Had two shots on target in three games under Paul Clement. He's not too bothered about us getting forward and creating a lot of chances and scoring goals. That has been pushed out the window in favour of keeping clean sheets at the back.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's now look at the weaknesses and let's see if things have changed under Clement. I have a feeling you might think that some of these weaknesses are not weak at this point. So let me go through them. Avoiding offside weak, defending against long shots, defending against through ball attacks, defending against skillful players, aerial duels, avoiding foul in dangerous areas, all weak, very weak at stopping opponents from creating chances. That's what whoscored.com says right now are the weaknesses of Reading. Do you agree with that?
Some of those, certainly. Stopping chances from distance, we're not particularly good at. We, despite being, I think, quite solid in aerial duels, I think we're pretty solid as that goes. We're less good at really closing down players just outside our box. We're yet to properly settle on a really decisive, really, really dominant holding midfielder who can protect the back four and stop the kind of chances. So if Fulham can get players in and around the box to have a pop from range, then that's certainly something that I could see you taking advantage of.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Any other weaknesses from your standpoint about your club right now?
Apart from generally not being very good, I can't put too many things on it. I guess looking at it a different way, I'm not sure how this team would react to going, say, two goals down to Fulham on Tuesday night, particularly if you can get a goal or two quite early. We're yet to be in a position where the onus is on us to chase the game, to really kind of have to come out and create chances. That psychological shift, we've not really been tested by that.
Right.
So I guess that's another weakness.
Well, what's interesting, again, this is listening to your podcast, which I really enjoyed, and you guys were going through predictions. I'll get your prediction a little bit. I heard your prediction on the show, and I'm sure you'll match that up on Cottage Talk as well. But it sounded like some of the co-hosts are looking at this and hoping for a point here, basically to really just try to stifle us. Would that be safe to say, is from a fan perspective, is that what you're hoping for? And then maybe nick a goal.
I think any Reading fan would be absolutely delighted if we can stifle you for as much of the game as possible, maybe nick a goal. I think that's our best chance, to be honest. Just stay solid at the back, prevent you from scoring as much as we possibly can, and maybe get something down the other end. I don't think we're going to be able to come out and create a lot of chances and beat you in an open game. We're certainly not going to be able to do that. Sure. So if we can just park the bus, as it were,
right?
Stop you creating, keep things as tight as possible. Even if it's just a boring 0-0, I would be very happy. I think I speak for a lot of Reading fans.
Okay, Simeon, and I'm assuming that's what you think Paul Clement's strategy is going to be against Fulham, to basically park the bus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Who are your key players against Fulham for Reading?
Liam Moore and Thiago Alori have been pretty immense in the last
couple of years. How has Alori been? I was going to ask you about him.
He's been very below par pretty much all season. Looked shot on confidence when I mentioned that lack of confidence from being asked to overplay by Yap Stam. That seemed to affect Thiago Alori particularly, because he's been essentially rejected by Liverpool. He was there for a couple of years and he's then not made the grade there and he's come on to a championship club. His confidence, I think, is naturally still taking a bit of time to develop. His confidence has been bad all season, I guess. But Paul Clement seems to have done a pretty masterful job in terms of getting him confident, getting him back to his best, really. And he looked very good on Saturday, and I imagine he'll be key for us tomorrow night.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's move on. Here's a question that many of my guests, I could tell they're not happy to answer because they're going to put you in the shoes of the other manager, but I'm going to do it here with you as well. If you were former head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy for beating Reading?
I guess, besides just go out and attack and try and get a goal as early as possible, I'd reiterate to my players that if you don't get an early goal, it's not something to worry about, because Reading are going to go in there and sit deep and really try and defend for their lives. So it could make it more frustrating than anything else for your team. And that could be something that plays against you if the home crowd starts to get a bit anxious about how the game is going. The players, Fulham players, that is, need to be wise to that. They need to stay strong and really stay confident and motivated as long as the game goes. It might come down to a 90th minute goal scramble. It might come down to that. So if it is that kind of game, if it is that tight and scrappy and frustrating for the home side, then it's something that Fulham have got to be prepared for.
Okay, excellent. It's interesting because I was going to ask you, do you see your team as one that, because Fulham are going to possess the ball for the majority of the game, that's what I'm expecting. Do you think that they can hold up for 90 plus minutes? Because Fulham do score many late goals from tiring out the other team.
I'm not sure, to be honest. It's something that I guess we've done pretty well at in our two home games under Clement. Really going the distance in terms of defending well late on as well as during the rest of the game. But going up against a particularly good, particularly creative side in Fulham, we've not really been tested by that. Although we had that game against Aston Villa last Tuesday.
Right.
It's a very different challenge to what
we faced.
There's
not much you can take away from that when you go down a man. That's just my feeling on that.
Yeah, exactly. And we just seem to kind of collapse in the, pretty much as soon as that first goal went in. So I guess the rest of the game was pretty much a write-off. But when you're going up against a really good side who are going to be attacking constantly, we've not really had that. So I'm not too sure how we're going to react to that kind of challenge. But on the face of what I have seen, the players seem a lot more mentally tough. They seem a lot more strong, and hopefully buoyed by quite a large away contingent from the Reading fans. So hopefully something to cheer them on and get them inspired.
Okay, excellent there, Simeon. All right, let's move on. Which Fulham players concern you the most in this matchup?
Tom Kearney is always the name that stands out for me. He's a particularly clever, intelligent player. He's someone that I've been pretty jealous of for quite a while now, to be honest. He's a very, very accomplished player, and I thought he did very well to keep hold of him last summer. Ryan Sessegnon as well, the obvious standout with his pace down the left. Chris Gunter isn't the most defensively accomplished of right backs. He's not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but in terms of that key matchup down the left, I think Sessegnon could have a lot of joy going at Gunter with his pace and really stretching Reading's defence. And particularly Mitrovic as well in the middle. He's done particularly well in the couple of weeks since he came in. He's going to be a big challenge for Moore and Alori. They didn't really have a particularly dominant, particularly accomplished striker they were going up against in any of the three games that they played so far. But Mitrovic, with his with his strength, his ability to hold the ball up and bring others into play, that's going to be a very different, very tough challenge for them to cope with.
What's interesting about him, and we were talking about it on Cottage Talk, is his control of his body. He can manipulate his body to give himself the advantage very well, and he holds up the ball, like you mentioned, very well. So he's a challenge for anyone. So I would put him right at the top along with the other two players you mentioned. So I understand why you mentioned those three. All right, it's time for you to predict your starting 11 against Fulham.
I guess the tough decision for me is who's going to play at left back, because, well, we've got about three left backs in the squad and they all seem to be injured at the moment. So it all depends on whether one of those is going to be fit or not. And if they aren't fit, then we have to kind of reshuffle our whole team to fit someone in. On the assumption that Tyler Blackett is going to be fit and available at left back, Moore and Lawry will certainly start alongside him. They've been very good in the last couple of games. Chris Gunter plays every game that he is available for at right back. Viso Manone, the same in goal, despite being dropped under Yap Stam. He's come in and been very impressive under Paul Clement in his couple of games. In the midfield, I imagine Leandro Bacuna and George Evans as quite a defensive screen in front of the back four. We often only play one holding midfielder in front of the defence, but I think with that extra challenge that we've got at Craven Cottage, I imagine Clement will bring in an extra defensive player in the shape of George Evans ahead of them to give them a bit of an outlet. I guess Modu Barrow and Aluko down the wings for some pace. Annoyingly, we don't have any other fit wingers at all. So they're our only option in terms of pace out wide. And I guess John Swift behind John Daddy Bodvarsson for our central attacking threat. Bodvarsson is someone who can hold the ball up, he can run the channels, he's got a bit of mobility himself. So he offers us that all-round presence up front, which should hopefully be able to let up the pressure on our own defence. And okay. John Swift is, in a few ways, he's a bit like Tom Cairney. He's that kind of creative player who'll float around the midfield and really try and unlock a defence. So if we can get him on the ball, then he could be a key player for us.
Okay, excellent there, Simeon. All right, finish up. It's time for your prediction. What is your prediction for this match?
I think Reading will make it as tough as they possibly can for Fulham, but considering how we don't seem particularly creative ourselves down that end, I can't see us scoring more than one goal, to be honest. But despite us keeping it tight down our end, I imagine you'll edge it 2-1.
Okay, excellent. Simeon, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Quite all right.
Okay, before we go, please tell everyone one last time how they can follow you on Twitter, also about the website, and one last time about the podcast. Who are the members of the podcast? Because they did an excellent job. You were on there as well.
Thank you. It's a rotating cast. The podcast host is a guy called Mark Mayo. He's very good, yeah. He took over from our previous host, Dan Wimbush, about October time, and I think he's done a very good job. We've got a rotating cast, though. I'm on it sometimes, but we'll bring in other fans too. You can find me on Twitter at BucksRoyal, and my website, the editor, I'm the editor of the Tynehurst End. You can find us on Twitter at the Tynehurst End. And yeah, we're a website that covers everything about Reading. We're very fan driven. We've got a lot of opinion, a lot of analysis. So go check us out.
Yeah, you guys do a great job on the website, and highly recommend, if you're looking for the Reading perspective, go check out the Tynehurst End. It's a great place. And like I keep saying, because I'm now a fan of the podcast, I've listened to the podcast several times, but this last one was very good, and I would highly recommend listening to it if you want the opposition view, along with my talk here with Simeon, who did a great job breaking down Reading for us on Cottage Talk. All right, my friend. Thank you so much, but it is time to wrap this up. For Simeon Pickup, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.